Hello everyone, my name is Faris Al-Nazi and this is again Faris Show. So Faris Show is basically a show where we talk about Saudi Arabia when it comes to many different parts and thoughts, including like religion, economy, and political thoughts. And this is the third episode and we'll be talking about marketing. And my guest today is Professor James Shock. Hello, Dr. James Shock.
Marhaban.
Marhaban. Ahlan wa sahlan. Marhaban means hi, by the way. Yeah. So today we'll be talking about marketing. I know marketing is a big subject in the whole world.
Definitely.
And I want to start my interview with you by asking you, what do you think of marketing in Saudi Arabia?
Well, I probably learned a lot from other countries on how to market. I've looked at some of the websites in Saudi Arabia. There's a lot of similarities to what you have in other countries. The biggest difference is how you approach it based on the culture of the country. So things that will work in the U.S. will not necessarily work in France and won't necessarily work in Saudi Arabia. So there's always cultural differences they have to take into consideration.
Yeah, I'm wondering, what do you mean exactly by saying it's different? It's like, can you give me an example?
Sure, the approach that you take. So I'll give you one example. In this country, you might have an automobile ad.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a woman driving a convertible down the highway.
Mm-hmm.
At least until recently, if you had a similar advertisement like that in Saudi Arabia, it probably would not go over very well.
Mm. Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Yeah. So you're trying to show with this particular ad the freedom that you get with this particular automobile. And yet, you can show that in different ways. And so you have to be sensitive to the cultural variations of each market in order to do that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the same thing goes in the U.S. It just depends on what you're going to advertise. Up here in the more northern climates, starting most likely last month, you would see ads for automobile antifreeze that you put in your car when the temperatures get very cold. If you go to the southern states in this country, you'll never see that.
Exactly,
because it's not it has no relevance to those.
I was in Arizona studying in University of Arizona, and we never saw snow. I've never seen this.
If you went to Flagstaff, you would see snow there.
Yeah, I know Flagstaff because it's in the mountain or something.
Yeah, it's up high.
Okay,
and same thing. You're coming from Saudi Arabia. Probably never been any snow in Saudi
Actually,
Arabia.
In the north now, we have snow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I live in the north of Saudi.
Okay.
So I'll be starting with some general questions with experience with Saudi and Saudi Arabia. So what do you think of Saudi students? I know you have had a lot in your classes.
Yeah, I've had quite a few Saudi students. I think generally they're very much like any other students. You have some that are really seizing the opportunity they have with this four-year education. And there are some who just really don't know why they're here.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah, and you'll find that in every country.
I know some Saudi people who are majoring in marketing, and they have some goals when they go back to Saudi.
Yes.
I mean, how can I apply my experience in the United States, which is two different from Saudi Arabia, and apply it in Saudi and do well?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I improve myself and the country I'm from? By the major I'm studying. If I'm studying by marketing, how can I improve the marketing in Saudi Arabia due to my studying and my experience in the United States?
Yeah, so you're going to take back a lot of the same skills that you're going to use in any country. And again, the cultural differences are going to be the main thing that you have to look at. So for instance, with marketing in general, it's really the hub of any business. And some businesses still don't believe that. They think they just make something and they send salespeople out and find somebody that will buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it's an old approach, and it doesn't work anymore. So with marketing in a company, it's really the hub of the activity of new product development and customer creation. And the entire purpose of a business is to create and keep customers. And with that, there are two functions that a company has, and one is to market, and the other is to innovate.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're working in marketing, you are there, you're not there to maintain the status quo. You're there for change. And consequently, with all sorts of things are going on in Saudi Arabia, change is a very big priority right now.
Yeah.
So having the skills of to understand things have a certain lifespan, and it could be within a few months, a few years. And other products have decades of life. If you look at some of the U.S. brands, some have been around for over 100 years. And consequently, they go through little cycles of growth and decline. And then there's, it's allergy season. Well, it's sinus season, what it is.
Yeah.
Change in temperature. So you'll have some that they'll go through little ups and downs, but they keep going. Look at things like breakfast cereal or Coca-Cola, for instance. That's been around for well over 100 years. And it goes through various stages of popularity and decline. And then right now, for soda pop as a whole, at least in the United States, it's on a pretty substantial and long-term decline because people's attitudes about the drinks have changed and they want something different. And consequently, people are choosing other things other than Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my first question here is going to be about the Saudi Aramco IPO, which is finally in the market again. Mm-hmm. Here.
Yeah. It's been a while.
And the question is, do you think it's the company is marketing for itself? Because people are confused, like why Aramco or IPO is becoming public? Like, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, in fact, it's really a small part of the company that's going public, which is interesting. And it's going to be, probably will be the largest IPO in financial history. And it just shows you how much Saudi Aramco could be worth on the open market, although not 20 times what it's going for right now, but it certainly would be worth quite a bit more. It seems not necessarily that, probably indirectly marketing, but directly looking for funds to help fund the NEOM project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which...
Which is a big project.
Yeah, and I guess the people running this have budgeted about $500 billion for this, and that seems too little to do that, because you're looking at an area in Saudi Arabia that's equivalent to the state of Maryland, which is not too far away from us.
Yeah, 4 hours from here, Pennsylvania.
And you're going to displace about 20,000 people already live there, and then you're going to build this, at least within the marketing aspects I've seen on the internet, is being portrayed as some sort of utopian existence. Mm. It's likely never going to achieve that, because lots of other people or organizations have tried to develop some sort of utopian existence, and that's just hard to achieve because everybody's idea of utopia is different.
So do you recommend investing in the company?
Well, I don't give investment advice. You could probably just look at how all the other energy companies are doing, and if they're doing okay, that might be okay as well. But I don't know what if there are any restrictions on the shares of that stock, what type of how the governance of the company will change with the IPO. Because going from a privately held company to a public company will change things, and they have all sorts of regulations to fulfill in different countries and markets around the globe. So that'll be interesting to see how that's all managed.
Okay, thank you so much. And I want to ask you about the last episode with Dr. Dunn. We have talked about the economy in Saudi Arabia and how now Saudi Arabia is trying to bring other companies, big companies from all over the world. And I want to ask you, how, from your knowledge as a professor in marketing, the big companies, the huge companies in the world, how can you bring them in Saudi Arabia? How to market for those companies?
Well, with any product or service, the overriding question is, why should I choose you? So that becomes the overriding question for companies going into Saudi Arabia. Why would I go there?
I mean, because you have lots of people over there, lots of fans, and it's like, especially like, one example is like Apple, for example. Mm-hmm. I know like almost 90% of Saudis have Apple iPhones. Mm-hmm. It's like, why don't you come there? Amazon, or like any other companies.
Oh, yeah. If you're going there strictly looking at it as a market in order to sell goods and services, you have a population, you have a fairly growing middle class population as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, overall, not just Saudi, but if you look at Emirates and Qatar and Kuwait, there's quite a lot of wealth in that area. So mm-hmm. it makes it attractive for companies to go in, mm-hmm. Disposable income. Very similar to what's going on in China. There's quite an emerging middle class going on in China. Now they have the money in order to buy goods and services, and consequently they're buying the latest refrigerators and TVs and all sorts of things like that. Okay. So, just the basic economy just becomes attractive for companies to go in. Always you look at, how did they... you familiar with the chicken and the egg analogy? Okay. So do you go in and have them buy things, or they have to have their economy grow enough, and do you have to go in there so their economy grows enough? But right now, in the Mideast, you have basically a lot of petrostates, and there's not too much in the way of at least exports to the United States and maybe some other countries that... that happen. Although there's one company over there, I think they have a really good case how they could make a big dent in markets around the world. And you're familiar with the Zamal air conditioner company?
No, I haven't heard about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you have a company in Saudi Arabia that makes air conditioners.
Okay.
And if you have summers in Saudi Arabia that exceed 50 degrees centigrade, and the air conditioners work, that must be a really good air conditioner.
Exactly.
And so you could make a case where they could do a promotion that, we're this Saudi air conditioner and, we take care of what would be equivalent about 130 degree summers, and, you can certainly handle your summer.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I want to ask you another question, which is about the big projects that are going on in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Like now Saudi Arabia is like doing a lot of big projects and big events. Mm-hmm. They brought WWE, mm-hmm. and they have the Neom you have talked about, and the mm-hmm. Riyadh season, which is like 3 months events in Riyadh. It's like include like artists, musicians, and from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they made the visa to come into Saudi. It's too easy. Like you can get the visa in 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Just it's all online. So what do you think of this? People are asking why. Is Saudi Arabia trying to market for itself? Is this helpful for people to like come to Saudi? Because yesterday when I was like looking this up, I have seen some American people asking questions like, is Saudi Arabia safe? Do you think the country is trying to market for itself by doing this? Do you think having fun or like doing those type mm-hmm. of events and doing like big projects that include having fun, like WWE, mm-hmm. like Riyadh season. Do you think it helps, and why?
Yeah, well, it's really event marketing is what they're doing. And it's very beneficial to do something like that. Saudi Arabia, and you can make a case for some of the other countries in that area as well, are still a bit of an enigma to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They really mm-hmm. don't know all that much about it. They just know very small things, like oil and some other things. That is a good way to draw people in to see what you have in the area. In the United States, there is a festival every year in in Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. called the South by Southwest Festival. But really originally started out as a music festival, and now it's music, film, discussion panels. I think there's a book section of it.
When is this?
South by Southwest is generally February or March in Texas.
I'll probably go there.
And it draws people from all over the country and other places in the world as well. That's a good way to showcase the area and get people familiar with that. There's another one as well called the Spoleto Festival, and that originated in Italy. And they have, I believe, two locations outside of that country, and one is in the U.S. and is in Charleston, South Carolina. And that happens around May, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a multi kind of artistic thing. So you have art displays, plays, film, other things like that. And it brings people from all over into Charleston, and it's a good way for people to explore Charleston and not just the festival itself.
Hmm.
If you go to Scotland, and this would be probably late August, early September, there's actually a few festivals going on, but the main one's called the Fringe Festival. And there's also a book festival going on at the same time. But the Fringe Festival is entertainment, it's music, comedy, theater, things of that nature. And it brings a lot of people in, and they get very familiar with Edinburgh. And going out at the same time is a thing called the Edinburgh Military Tattoo, which is where they have mostly pipe and drum acts from around the world, generally from the UK and where England had colonies or things of that nature. So you'll have some acts from India come in. But they all play the bagpipes, and they have drums. There'll be some other acts in there as well that have nothing to do with that. But again, it's just this whole collection of things comes together at one time and just draws a lot of people in.
Okay. So you have mentioned, like, some people from some countries mm-hmm. think of Saudi Arabia as just like oil and mm-hmm. some other things. How do you think those type of events, like projects, can change the opinion? And what can it be if it's not just oil?
Well, it certainly will depend on what time of year it's held.
It's not, it's going on now.
Okay.
And NEOM is, I think, it's going to be done by 2025 or something.
Okay. I mean, for instance, the...
Take it there.
The... was it the Riyadh season?
Yeah.
Is that the name of the thing? That's going on right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So the temperature's not bad.
12, 15 of December.
Okay. So, you know, the temperature is nice. So yeah. That's going to bring people in. They don't have to worry about 50 degrees centigrade temperatures and walking around in a very dry heat and being dehydrated. And, you know, it's because even temperatures much lower than that, at big events with a lot of people, that can cause a problem. But it's a good time. To come in, it's sort of like New Orleans. New Orleans is in the state of Louisiana in the southern United States. The last festival in New Orleans is in April, and then the next one doesn't pick up until about October because the temperature and the humidity is just sort of unbearable at that point.
Okay.
And people don't want to come and be exposed to that, but, you know, in the wintertime, the spring and the fall,
yeah,
it's very nice. Yeah, so it's a good way for people. You know, they can travel there, they'll see what the temperature is, and say, oh, that's nice. It's kind of like going to Florida or something like that.
Yeah, and maybe like their opinion is going to be changed.
Exactly, because that way they can see that it's more than you know, sandstorms and 130 degrees.
Yeah. And I mean, people are having fun. I know, like, lots of my friends mm-hmm. from Arizona have gone there, and like a lot of mm-hmm. friends from like Europe have mm-hmm. went there. So I think people are having fun. So I want to ask you something. Like, me personally, I do want to advertise for those events. And it's like among my friends, among my American friends and mm-hmm. here in the United States. As a student, how do you think I should be doing this? How can I invite people to come to my country?
Well, social media is a great way to get the word out.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's especially for people of your age. Who pretty much live by social media. I mean, yeah, everybody's attached to this thing all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's, and if there's something really convincing enough, people are going to keep, you know, either retweeting it or put it on Instagram, putting the link on there, and it, you know, it just snowballs. And they have YouTube as well. Because a lot of people are on YouTube all the time, more so than anything else. So, and that's just a good way to get. The message out.
Okay. And One, my final question today is going to be about these small companies. Yep. Now in Saudi Arabia, a lot of people, even like students, when they go back, everyone has a plan to make his own brand, like her own brand, and to start a company.
Sure.
What's your advice for small companies in Saudi Arabia, like who are planning to start a small company?
Well, start a small company, really take a look at other successful small companies that start from nothing and have grown quite a bit. It will depend on what type of company. There are, in the software area, you have the social media apps that are out there. Yeah. And, you know, do you have something that's more compelling than Instagram or Twitter right now? If it's something other than that, just take a look at companies that would be in a very similar type of industry that were small and became bigger. My guess is just about any company that's starting right now is going to have a huge social media presence. And that's, if you look at your Instagram feed, you'll see all sorts of small companies I've never heard of and have these kind of unique products. Some are really crappy, but some are kind of interesting. And it's a good way to get things going. And I've done projects like this in my classes. I've found some interesting products out there that people really don't know about, but they actually have a lot of merit. For instance, there's this one small company, and I believe they're from Austria, but they have a solar-powered water bottle, which may sound funny, but it takes the humidity out of the air and converts it into drinkable water.
That's cool.
So you put it on your bike, and as you're biking along, you know, the wind kind of forces the humidity into this mechanism, and then it fills up the bottle.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So pretty much that's all for today. Thank you so much, Dr. Shak. I've taken your class. I had fun, and now I really had fun with the interview we have done together. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. I'm glad you have fun because learning should be fun.
Exactly. Thank you so much. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next episode. Ferris.